Good morning, friends. Good morning. As people come in, help them. I know we like to sit on the edge, but sometimes it's hard to walk over each other, so we still have people arriving. Welcome to the table. At Central United Methodist Church, we are grateful to be together this morning. Just a word that you'll want to listen to so you don't have a blank stare at communion. Okay? So we're going to do things a little bit differently. We've been doing things a little bit differently, right, this month. And for those of us who have seen Hadestown, this may make a little more sense, but it's okay if you haven't seen Hadestown. But communion will be different. We will ask you to do this one very important thing, which is to come forward when we signal, take a cup, take a piece of bread, don't eat it. And then go back, please, to your pew, to your seat, because we as one body are going to lift our cups together, all right? And we'll have a question for us to share in that time together. Yeah? Yeah. All right. Here we go. Have a seat, Rod. This morning, we turn from excavating the ways the gospel shows up in the cultural touch points of Barbie and Taylor Swift and Ted Lasso to the Broadway musical Hadestown. Hadestown won 8 Tony Awards back in 2019 and ran last week in San Francisco and is running through this week into this afternoon. I don't know if there are tickets left, but maybe. Just down the street in Sacramento.
Ragged and beaten down citizens drink and dance in hardship on the stage, and Orpheus, who we learn is touched by the gods, sings, "If no one takes too much, there will always be enough." He's trying to write a melody that'll fix the broken world when we meet him at the top of the show. The melody that he longs to sing is freedom and hope and love, what we in the church tend to call salvation. But not salvation in some other worldly distant form, salvation in the here and now. And as we learn in Hadestown, salvation is always economic salvation. And Jesus sings a similar melody. The church, we call those parables. Something like Orpheus, Jesus himself, touched by God, the Holy Spirit, wrote melodies hoping to fix our broken world, pointing us to freedom and hope and love, to salvation here and now. And like Hadestown, the gospel is clear. All salvation is economic salvation here and now. So let's hear from Jesus first, his parable, his melody, you could say.
For the kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who went out early in the morning to hire laborers for his vineyard. After agreeing with the laborers for the usual daily wage, he sent them into his vineyard. When he went out about 9 o'clock, he saw others standing idle in the marketplace, and he said to them, "You also, go into the vineyard, and I will pay you whatever is right." So they went. When he went out again about noon and about 3 o'clock, he did the same. And about 5 o'clock, he went out and found others standing around, and he said to them, "Why are you standing here idle all day?" They said to him, "Because no one has hired us." He said to them, You also go into the vineyard." When evening came, the owner of the vineyard said to his manager, "Call all the laborers and give them their pay, beginning with the last and then going to the first."
Jewish New Testament scholar Amy Jill Levine writes about this parable in Matthew 20. The parable could be about salvation, but Jesus was more interested in how we love our neighbor than he was in how we get into heaven. Might we rather then see the parable as about real workers, real marketplaces, real landowners who hire those workers? Something extraordinarily similar could easily be said about the Broadway musical Hadestown. And we can't take you all down the street to this afternoon's show, but we can bring a taste of Hadestown into this space. So this is our music team sharing the opening of Hadestown.
Once upon a time there was a railroad line. Don't ask where, brother, don't ask when. It was the road to hell. It was hard times. It was the world of gods and men. It's an old song.
It's an old song.
It's an old tale from way back when. It's an old song.
It's an old song.
And we're gonna sing it again. Gods and men are right. We got some gods in the house tonight.
Yeah. Woo-hoo.
See, on the road to hell there was a railroad line. And there were three old women all dressed the same. And they was always singing in the back of your mind. Everybody meet the fates.
Yeah, woo!
All right now.
Yeah, girl.
Yeah. And on the road to hell there was a railroad line. And a lady stepping off of a train with a suitcase full of summertime. Persephone by name.
Woo! All right, Persephone.
And if you ride that train,
ride that train.
If you ride that train,
ride that train.
If you ride that train to the end of the line, where the sun don't shine and it's always shady, it's there you'll come find the king of the mine, Almighty Mr. Hades.
Woo! Yeah!
Woo-wee. We got any other gods here tonight? Oh, I almost forgot. On the road to hell, there was a railroad station. And a man with feathers on his feet who could help you to your final destination, Mr. Hermes. That's me. See, some of us gotta tell a tale. Whether or not it turns out well, maybe it will turn out this time. On the road to hell, on the railroad line, it's a sad song.
Sad song.
It's a sad tale, it's a tragedy. It's a sad song.
It's a sad song.
We're gonna sing it anyway. Now, not everyone gets to be a god. And don't you forget, the times are hard. Hard times in the world of men. Let me introduce you to a few of them. You can tip your hats and your wallets, brothers and sisters, boys and girls, to the hardest working chorus in the God's almighty world.
Woo!
And working just as hard for you. Let's see what this group can do. Go ahead. Song. His mama was a friend of mine, and this boy's was as a music sign on the road line, on the road to hell. You might say the boy was touched, cause he was touched by the gods themselves. Give it up for Orpheus. Orpheus. There was one more soul on this road. Girl, come in from out of the cold. On the railroad line, on the road to hell. There was a young girl looking for something to eat. And brother, thus begins the tale of Orpheus and Eurydice. It's a love song.
It's a love song.
It's a tale of love from long ago. It's a sad song.
It's a sad song.
But we're gonna sing it even so. It's an old song.
It's a love song.
It's an old tale from way back when. And we're gonna sing, we're gonna sing.
Of Jesus function in ways that incite us, it gets us on our feet, and we wonder about whether the way things are the way things have to be. Parables provoke us into new understandings. They surprise us. Parables challenge the status quo. The status quo for those in Hadestown is brutal. The ancient love story of Orpheus and Eurydice, like today's parable from Jesus, is a story about work. The laborers in Hadestown wear headlamps and keep their heads down, and they wear dirty coveralls, and they work tirelessly building a wall. They mindlessly accept the status quo. No surprises for them, no new understandings, just heads down building a wall. Jesus tells a parable about a landowner of a vineyard. Hades is the landowner of Hadestown. Unlike the landowner in the parable, Hades' diabolical desire is to keep the laborers apart, to ensure the wall is their focus. Building the wall simultaneously keeps them apart and gives them meaning in meaninglessness. Orpheus' song functions something like Jesus' parable. The song of Orpheus provokes new understanding, surprises, and challenges the status quo, and Orpheus miraculously eventually makes his way to Hadestown without taking the train that Omari and our team just introduced. When Orpheus finally arrives beyond the wall, going to the end of time, to the ends of the earth, around the back, he shares a song so beautiful. The melody breaks the laborers from their deadness and incites them to question Hades' authority. The song invites them to ask, is it true what they say? Eurydice has already signed her life over to Hades. She's starting to lose her way. Her head is falling down, finding her place in the line, the circle of laborers who are building the wall. This is our Hannah, sharing Eurydice's song about the regrets, the pain, the brokenness she feels as her body and life are signed over to Hades, and her head is beginning to drop and her life beginning to fade. And the tediousness of building the wall. This is Flowers from Hadestown.
One, two, three, four.
close my eyes and disappear like a petal on a stream, a feather on the air. Lily white and poppy red, I trembled when he laid me out. You won't feel a thing, he said, when you go down.
Myth upon which Hadestown is based tells the tragedy of Orpheus and Eurydice. In the original story, Orpheus, a lyre player, has the power to animate the flowers and the rivers. He marries beautiful Eurydice, who suddenly dies. When she travels to the underworld, Orpheus tries to retrieve her from its overseer, King Hades. King Hades allows the lovers to leave, but only if Orpheus leads Eurydice up to the living world without looking back at her. Spoiler alert on the ancient Greek myth. He does. She dies again. Anais Mitchell based Hadestown on this ancient love story from Greek mythology. The musical made it all the way from a community center in Vermont way back in 2006 to Broadway. Her Broadway adaptation brings the underworld and earth above much, much closer together. Perhaps something like how Jesus and his followers would have imagined Hades and the earth close together. The people on top in Hadestown are still on the road to hell waiting for a train, either to take them there or to bring a change in the weather. Most everyone, it seems, is trapped in the evil and endless cycle of life and misery in Hadestown.
Jesus, in the parable, lays bare the way laborers find themselves trapped as well. When those hired about 5 o'clock came, each of them received their usual daily wage. Now, when the first came, they thought they would receive more. But each of them also received the usual daily wage. And when they received it, they grumbled against the landowner, saying, "These last worked only 1 hour, and you have made them equal to us, who have borne the burden of the day and the scorching heat." Those on top in the parable grumble. Should those who came in after us, those who worked less, get the enough that we bargained for? Shouldn't we get more? In our tradition, we have a way of talking about that. It's falling into the trap of the evil one, of the diabolical one, of Hades. It's the songbird in the musical falling in and signing their life over to the rattlesnake, letting Hades drive, putting our heads down and grumbling. And we have music in our church that helps us to sing about our longing to not fall into this trap. And so I invite you to stand as you're willing and able, as our music team shares with us. And we sing along, "Don't Let Him Ride."
The devil ride. Oh, don't let the devil ride. If you let the devil ride, he will want to drive. Don't let him ride.
we're going to invite our children to make their way back to the back of the sanctuary with that little movement behind us. Sophia is going to help us. Jacob is on his way. Juliet is there. Our children will be wandering together on the floor in a godly play sanctuary upstairs about God's love for them and God's unceasing love for the world. And I invite us to be seated. We've got parents finding their way. The landowner replied to one of them, "Friend, I am doing you no wrong. Did you not agree with me for the usual daily wage? Take what belongs to you and go. I choose to give to this last the same as I give to you. Am I not allowed to do what I choose with what belongs to me? Or are you envious because I am generous? So the last will be first, and the first will be last." The landowner not only fulfilled the contract with those first hired, but also pays a full wage to those who might not have expected them to do so. It's a surprising, disorienting, even unsettling lesson in the parable. Not that those who have get more, like is so often the case, but those that have not get enough. One does the work in the labor force, in the kingdom, not for more reward, but for the benefit of all. Dr. Amy Jill Levine says it this way: if we refocus the parable away from, quote, who gets into heaven, and toward who gets a day's wage, we can find a message that challenges rather than prompts complacency. If we look at economics, at the pressing reality that people need jobs and that others have excess funds, we find what should be a compelling challenge to any hearer. And in that story, we learn what it is, what it means to act as God acts, with generosity to all. And that is what parables are supposed to do. The parable shares a melody with Orpheus. In the parable, Jesus sings, "To the world we dream about, let the world God dreams about be the one we live in." See, I confused them because they're so similar. The melodies are almost the same. I'm going to say it one more time. The parable Jesus sings, "Let the world God dreams about be the one we live in now." And in Hadestown, Orpheus toasts something so similar: to the world we dream about and the one we live in now. Let's listen.
Round
to the
patroness of all of this, Persephone, who has finally returned to us with wine enough to share, asking nothing in return, except that we should live and learn to live as brothers in this life, and to trust she will provide. And if no one takes too much, there will always be enough. She will always fill our cups.
I will.
And we will always raise them up. To the world we dream about, and the one we live in now. 'Cause right now we're living it.
How are we living it?
Living it, living it up. Brother, right now we're living it.
How are we living it?
Listen, dear, I'll tell you where we're living it. I'm on top.
I'm on top.
Living it, living it. Ain't gonna stop. Living it, living it. How are we living it?
How are we living it?
Living it, living it, living it, living it, living it. I'm on top.
Like Orpheus, Jesus offers a blessing. We should live and learn to live as neighbors. Trust God will provide if no one takes too much, and there will always be enough. The parable of Jesus in Matthew 20 is sung to those living it up on top, and also to those trapped in the drudgery of Hades. The parable calls us to lift our heads and see the belovedness of each of our neighbors, to devote our lives to faithful work that ensures all of God's children have enough. Jesus' parable is part of a larger Jewish tradition of prophetic justice seeking. But like the laborers who grumble in the parable, we get trapped in our desire for more and our quest for the most. It's a vicious cycle. A cycle exposed by Jesus in prophetic parable and by Hadestown on stage as workers put their headlamps down and move in unison, a unison call, and it's a response as well with Hades. We'll allow our song to be our prayer of confession this day. And I invite you to stand in body or spirit and join us. You'll see on the stage, on the screen, one and all.
The wall, my children, my children. Why do we build the wall?
Why do we build the wall? We build the wall to keep us free. That's why we build the wall. We build the wall to keep us free.
And how does the wall keep us free? My children, my children, how does the wall keep us free?
How does the wall keep us free? The wall keeps out the enemy. And we build the wall to keep us free. That's why we build the wall. We build the wall to keep us free.
Who do we call the enemy? My children. My children, who do we call the enemy?
Who do we call the enemy? The enemy is poverty, and the wall keeps out the enemy. And we build the wall to keep us free. That's why we build the wall.
have what they have not. My children, because they want what we have got.
Because we have what they have not.
Because they want what we have got. The enemy is poverty, and the wall keeps out the enemy.
And we build the wall to keep us free. That's why we build the wall. We build the wall to keep us free.
Friends, the God of love, made known in the life, teaching, and agape love of Jesus Christ, has set us free from this vicious cycle. You, we, all are forgiven. You, we, all are beloved. May God's generous ways become our ways this day and every day of our lives. Amen?
Amen.
Amen.
Friends, I invite us to join in the lifting up of our heads to the neighbors around us. This is a practice the church has to help us recognize the belovedness of Christ's presence in each and every neighbor around us, the light of God, both within and across every line. Friends, may the peace of Christ be with you.
And also with you.
When all was chaos, when water and earth had yet to take shape, God the painter, the sculptor, the creator touched the swirling mass. God's hand separated earth from water and water from sky. God touched the earth and plants turned green and fruit grew ripe. And to celebrate, God threw holy fireworks in the skies, placing stars in the heavens. God touched the oceans and rivers and ponds, and swimming beings made waves in the water. God reached to the sky, and things with wings took flight. And God looked upon all of this and said, "This is good." And when everything was done, God took clay and formed an image of God's own self, breathing into it God's own breath, and said, "You're the one I've been imagining. You and all of creation around you, my beloved creation, is good." But it wasn't good for long. God's people lost their way. We put our heads down. We built the wall. We couldn't feel a thing on that road to hell. So God reached inside God's own heart and sent Jesus to walk beyond the wall, going to the end of time, to the end of earth, around the back, to sing a song so beautiful that we might just join the melody and be broken from the chains which bind us and set free to raise our heads in the light of God's love.
To teach us the song of how much God loves us and to invite us into harmony one with another. But we put our heads down and we built the wall. The road to hell trapped us in a vicious loop. The empire lorded over Jesus and the world. When the chips were down, political leaders put their heads down. Religious leaders put their heads down. And those who thought we loved God the best, we put our heads down too. But before he was taken, Jesus gathered his friends around a table and promised them and promises us he will never leave us alone. Oh, will come back and take us home with him. And he called them and he calls us to raise our cups and sing the mystery that is our faith. Gathered his friends together, he took the simple food that was their Passover meal, the bread and the cup, and he blessed them both. And he gave thanks to God and said, I'm sharing this meal with you now so that you can share it together whenever you gather. And remember me, we raise our cups. Pray together the words Jesus shared with his disciples, those closest to him, that have been adopted by the church and named the Lord's Prayer and passed generation to generation. We invite you to address God in the way that is deeper in your heart. Let us pray. Our Mother, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. On earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Pour your Spirit, God, upon each of us gathered in this moment and over these gifts which are before us. Make these gifts your body and your love, and make us, through the sharing of this feast, your hope alive in the world. Amen. I invite you to be seated. All are welcome to the table of God's love. In the United Methodist Church, we practice what we call an open communion table. All truly does mean all, and we encourage those who are home to light a candle and gather close by to you whatever you might be using for your bread and for your cup.
If you remember our directions, what we invite you to do right now is to remember that all are welcome, as Matt has shared. We invite you to come forward to take a cup, to return to your seat, and try your best to refrain from eating or drinking. You may carouse, however, and here's the carousing question, okay? What hope do you have this day? What hope do you have this day for our broken world? What hope do you have this day for our broken world?
Friends, the body of Christ and the bread of life broken for you, and the cup of God's forgiveness and healing poured out for the whole world. Friends, I invite you to stand in body or in spirit. And as they say in Hadestown, to raise a cup. What? May the world God dreams of become the world we live in now. Amen.
Amen.
I invite you to be seated. Loving God, for the taste of new life, for the hope which you hold for the world, for this moment and for redemption which you bring to all of creation in the form of the way and the life and the truth of Jesus Christ, in whom we place our trust. We offer this time and our lives in your creative ways and in your many names. Amen. We are going to go out to how we close Hadestown. But before we do, I want to share just a little bit. And there are so many different ways you could take next steps. We hope that you'll be compelled by God's generosity to express generosity yourself, both here in this community and beyond, for those that have, that we would never hold too much, that we would share with those around, to live in the ways that God calls us to live. For those who want to connect with others and figure out how we might share in life together, to lift our heads up and see one another and be seen, we commend to you a series that Linda and I teach together called Growing in Faith, and we hope you'll sign up today to be part of that. In our church, just weeks ago, our children began what we call a new year in our ministry of Godly Play. And Godly Play is a Montessori-based Christian ministry that invites children to wonder about the love of God, to hear the stories from our tradition, and to shape their lives through the language of Christian faith. And the story that they open with is a story of what the church calls a calendar of the church year. The church year has a beginning that's like an end, and an ending that becomes a beginning. It's actually a sad song that we sing, God coming into the world and being put out by empire, by political leaders, by religious leaders. Being literally put 6 feet under. It's a sad song. It's a tragedy. And it's a song of redemption. So we keep singing it. It's an end. It's like a beginning. And a beginning that's like an end. I invite you to stand in body or spirit.
It's an old song. It's an old tale from way back when. It's an old song, and that is how it ends. That's how it goes. Don't ask why. Brother, don't ask how. He could have come so close. The song was written long ago. And that is how it goes. It's a sad song. It's a sad tale. It's a tragedy. It's a sad song. But we sing it anyway. Because here's the thing. To know how it ends and still begin to sing it again, as if it might turn out this time. I learned that from a friend of mine. See, Orpheus was a poor boy.
Anybody got a match?
But he had a gift to give.
Give me that.
He could make you see how the world could be, in spite of the way that it is. Can you see it? Can you hear it? Can you feel it? Like a train. Is it coming? Is it coming this way? On a sunny day, there was a railroad car, and a lady stepping off a train. Everybody looked and everybody saw that spring had come again. With a love song.
Love song.
With a tale of love from long ago. It's a sad song.
It's a sad song.
But we keep singing it even so. It's an old song.
It's an old song.
It's an old tale from way back when. Sing it again and again. We're gonna sing. We're gonna sing.
It's a love song.
It's a love song.
Sad song.
It's a sad song.
It's a sad song.
It's a sad song.
Keep singing even so.
Sing it again and again. We're gonna sing it again.
Friends, to the world God dreams of and the world we live in, go in peace. Amen.
With a love song,
love song,
love song,
love song, the tale of love from long ago. It's a sad song,
sad song,
it's a sad song, but we keep singing it even so. It's an old song.
It's a sad song.
again.